and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone's having an absolutely wonderful day today. It's busy as always down here in Florida. And I again encourage everybody, continue to do your research on what's really going on and the meaning and the symbolism behind the aspect of trying to force people to wear a mask and decrease their O2 levels. And it's funny, I had an interesting discussion the other day, I told you guys part of this, on how somebody was arguing with me on how doctors wear masks for hours at a time in surgery, and basically they don't have any issues with wearing masks. And my rebuttal to that was very clear. A, doctors engage in that as a profession, and they agree to the terms and conditions when they work at a hospital. B, they're in surgery for X amount of period, and they're usually off for a while. C, they do not work in 95-degree operating ER rooms. They're generally around 60 degrees. They're very cold in order to keep people from sweating, not getting sweat in your eyes, to decrease bacteria, so forth. And on top of that, they are getting paid handsomely to do so, which, I mean, I commend them. That's a very, very serious job, being a surgical doctor, ER doctor, and they get paid very well for doing so. That is not the case with what they are demanding. They are demanding that people blindly wear masks, even though the CDC and the WHO has said they have no effect on preventing you from contracting a virus. Now, I know, Dad, you're out of town right now, and I heard you basically had an incident as far as with somebody trying to make you wear a mask. What was going on with that just a few minutes ago?
Well, it's still going on. In fact, if I get dragged off the air here by the police today, I will let you guys know as they break into the room what's going on. And you guys think, oh, Ted's using hyperbole. I am not. I had a rough night's sleep last night. I'm in a hotel. I'm in a Marriott hotel down here in South Florida visiting a friend. In fact, I'm visiting Mancow today. And I'm supposed to have lunch with Mancow and Roger Stone. That's why I came down here. Just thought I'd let you guys know I'm down here visiting a friend because he's on vacation down here from Chicago. And I've got lunch scheduled with Roger Stone today. Now, what's funny about all of this, had a rough night's sleep. Mattress was yuck. And this is a nice hotel. I stayed here on Points. It's a Marriott hotel property in Fort Lauderdale. And so I thought, well, I've got to do the show. I didn't. I had to take an extra melatonin last night. I've got a melatonin hangover. I'm going to walk downstairs and get a cup of coffee. Okay. So I walk downstairs and get a cup of coffee. Now, I've told you guys, I don't drink coffee every day, but every once in a while I'll have some coffee. And so I walk downstairs to get a cup of coffee, and I'm sitting there, and I order my coffee through this big plexiglass plate thing, and I couldn't understand the person, so I had to keep poking my head around the plexiglass so I could hear her, so she could not muddle her speech. And then finally she says to me, "You have to wear a mask." Now, I don't know if she pushed the emergency buzzer. I don't know if the person just saw me there, who was the food and beverage director of the hotel. But she came over and said, "You must wear a mask." And I said, "I must not. I've got a medical condition. I had a heart attack when I was younger," which is true, by the way. I know I just don't talk about it on the show. And I said, "I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to wear my. I'm not going to lower my O2 levels, and I am not going to wear a mask." And she looked at me, and it was funny because she's kind of like a calf at a new gate. She didn't know what to say. And I said to her, "I said, look, I'm not going to lower my O2 levels and induce a heart attack." And she said, "Oh, well, you have to wear the mask." And I said, "Are you going to call me an ambulance if I collapse to the floor?" "Yes, if you have a heart attack, we will call you an ambulance." Now, stop for one second, okay? Basically, what she was doing was asking me to commit suicide while trying to get a cup of coffee that I had to pay too much money for. And I looked at her and I said, "You know, you need to call up your city council and figure out if this ordinance includes medical conditions." Because I didn't need to tell her about the heart. I don't usually talk about that because it happened a long time ago. But I'm just really careful with my heart. That's why I take my supplements, take my E, take my HGH stimulate. I take all of it. And I'm not going to put extra strain on my heart. And she said to me, she goes, and I was in my 20s, by the way, when that happened. So she looked at me and she goes, "Well, you have to do this. If we have to call security, we will." I said, "Call security." I said, "I don't care. What are you going to do? Drag me out without a mask on? I'll go back to the room. I don't have to wear a mask in the room." I said, "I would have already had my coffee and gone 5 minutes ago if you hadn't come down here and argue with me." Well, So finally I said, can I just have my coffee and go? By this time my adrenals were so high that I didn't eat coffee anyhow. I was wide awake. And I thought to myself, this is insanity. Now, I'm what they call titanium with Marriott, which means I do over 75 stays a year. Because I travel a lot, you guys know that, doing the show from remote locations. And I'm always doing other shows. Like today, I'm down here meeting with Roger Stone. So all of a sudden, I come back to the room, and I'm just unbelievably, how should I say this, I'm not in a gaming mood right now. That's from the Avengers movie when they ask Thor, and Loki and he were arguing, and Thor says, I'm not in a gaming mood, Loki, which means this isn't about fun and games right now. So right now I am not in a gaming mood. And I thought, this is ridiculous. Here I am, titanium member with Marriott, about to get myself arrested over a medical condition, and they're trying to induce me to commit suicide. This is insanity. So I get back to the room. I'm ranting, raving, and carrying on up here in the room. And I must admit, I said a couple of bad words. I did, but not to the person downstairs in the room, just by myself up here with Sharon. And also the phone rings. And I thought, oh, yeah, now the security's calling me up because I was not in a gaming mood, and I did not put the mask on, and I had to put in a little ticket for my ridiculous $5 cup of coffee. That, my room number was. I had to tell them who I was. And so all of a sudden the phone rings, and it's the food and beverage manager. And they go, I would apologize to you. I'm like, apologize to me for asking me to commit suicide, to have a heart attack? I said, I think we're beyond apologies here. I said, I accept your apology. Well, I mean, I can tell you what happened. She looked up the room number and saw that I was titanium and thought, oh, crap. Yeah, it's one of those. And so anyhow, so now I've got the food and beverage manager, the general manager of the hotel. Everybody's going to be meeting with me here at 11 o'clock after the show. And I'm like, this is insanity. Over a stupid mask that doesn't work anyhow because some idiot on the city council decided we're going to force everybody to wear masks. Now, here's what's so stupid about this. Last night, I walked into a restaurant. And they said, oh, you must wear your mask the 12 feet from the door to the doggone table. Once you get to the table, you take your mask off. And I said, can the germs not travel for the 12 feet? Well, you have to have a mask on, which I did not put on. Did not. So I just walked over and sat down. They go, oh, you're okay now. I'm like, well, good. I guess I must have held my breath. I don't know what just happened, okay? And so I'm thinking to myself, this is pure satanic mess of control. That's all this is. And I did a whole show on this the other day. And guys, here's the problem with all of this stuff. When do we say no? I'm serious. Joe Biden's stupid thing candidate without the legs who got killed, got a helicopter shot down, and I feel sorry for what happened to her over there in Afghanistan or the Middle East or whatever. She said about Trump's speech the other day in Mount Rushmore that all he wanted to do was talk about the Confederates who were a bunch of traitors. Traitors! That's the word she used. Traitors! Here's the Confederacy saying, and it was in their Constitution, they could step away from the government. They did not have to be part of the United States. They said, we've decided to dissolve our relationship with the federal government of the United States and go on our own and form our own nation. And Abraham Lincoln said, the hell you are, excuse my language. He goes, I will kill all of you to force you to do what you're supposed to do. And he probably killed a third of the population of the South doing that, including Sherman's notorious march to the sea, in which he raped and pillaged his way with a 60-mile swath of destruction from Atlanta all the way to the coast. That was Abraham Lincoln. And so now what are we supposed to do here with a tyrannical government, tyrannical city councils, tyrannical people in positions of power saying, you will commit suicide and have a heart attack if we don't care? What do you do with that? I just had another one. Troy just sent me a link this morning. And I told you guys, I'm not in a gaming mood today. Troy just sent me another one from an Ohio sheriff who said, I am not the mask police. Don't call 911 and tell me your neighbors don't have a mask on. We will not respond. If you have to call somebody, call the governor. Call the health department. Don't call us. We don't have the manpower to police your neighbors because they're not wearing a mask. Guys, this country is coming apart at the seams. This hotel is empty down here. I went down there for breakfast this morning. There was not one person in the restaurant. Not one person. I was the only person buying an overpriced cup of coffee. And I got accosted when I was buying my coffee. Where do we say no? Now, I'm not picking on Marriott. I'm not picking on any hotel chain. They don't know what to do either. But guys, we, the people of the United States of America, have to say genug, which means enough. We've got to say that's enough. I will not go silently into the night. I will not dig a ditch. I will not stand before the ditch, and I will not watch them shoot me. I will not do that. I will not willingly go to a guillotine. I will not do it. And this morning, since this thing is still unresolved, we're going to see what happens here. They may throw me out of the hotel and say, you got to go. And I'll, you know what I'll do? I'll pack up and I'll leave because it's private property. I don't even care. I'm to that point. And I'll go have lunch with Roger Stone and the man cow, and I'll head on back up to the house where I can sit and go freely unmolested on my way without suffocating myself. What the heck? People, where is the... I'm in my room. I'm not wearing a mask. I can go down to the pool. I'm not wearing... There's no mask requirement. But you, when you walk from the door to the table, you've got to put a mask on. How stupid are the city council members to promote something like that? It doesn't make any sense. And now, we got the Donald Trump, who, according to his niece, practices adultery and having sex with other men's wives as a sport, as fun, as a way of life. In her book, she's saying this. They all say the same thing. My friend said the same thing. I talked about this yesterday. He's now playing vaccine bait and switch. As the millions pull from the WHO, the World Health Organization for vaccines, Trump gives the billions to the Gates Foundation, G-A-V-I. Unbelievable. In mid-May, I'm reading an article by Derek Brose. I'm going to post it on the website. In mid-May, U.S. President Donald Trump announced that the U.S. would be ending their financial support for the World Health Organization and COVID-19 relief. The move was lambasted in the mainstream press as an out-of-touch politician pulling funding from a vital global health group. Now, let's start by looking at the funding provided by the U.S. government to the WHO in previous years. Latest numbers, 2018, show $281 million to the WHO from the U.S. The records indicate that after the U.S. government, the Bill and Gates Melinda Foundation, and Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, are the second and third top financiers of WHO. The U.S. funding of WHO actually tightens the technocrats' already firm grip on another global institution. This means when Donald Trump stated the U.S. will no longer fund the WHO, the Gates Foundation and Gavi stepped into the top financial role. Additionally, Gavi was largely funded by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Either way, Bill Gates is a top donor and will continue to expand his influence and dominance of global health. Bait and switch. In early June, the Trump administration declared support for Gavi to the tune of $1.16 billion from your tax dollars. Trump's support for Gavi came the first ever virtual global vaccine summit. At this summit, Gavi surpassed the goal of $7.4 billion instead of raising $8.8 billion USDA and securing commitments from most major nations around the world. More than the 25 heads of the state and 50 leaders of international agencies, NGOs, non-government organizations, and private industry attended the fundraising event. Guys, bait and switch, bait and switch. During his short speech, Donald Trump stated, "It's great to be partnering with you. We will work hard. We will be strong." Guess we have to use incomplete sentences. Trump will also call COVID-19 mean and nasty and said it has shown there are no borders and it doesn't discriminate. Guys, think through this with me. What the heck? A pledge of $1.16 billion. You know, I mean, think through this. This is all going to support a group that is supported via the Gates and Bill and Melinda Gates. We need to call him, instead of Bill Gates, we need to call Bill Gates from hell. That's who we need to call this guy. He's the Gates from hell. And, I mean, this guy is unreal. His mindset, and what he's a Rothschild banker cutout boy, guys and boys and girls. That's all he is. And now he's going to be the recipient indirectly of all of this money that we're giving, another $1 billion. I mean, unbelievable. To what? To develop a virus for the vaccine for the coronavirus that's not going to be clinically tested properly, that may have tracking chips in it, smart dust in it, fetal human cells in it. It may have mercury, arsenic, lead, aluminum. We have no idea what it is. And we're supposed to say, blindly step over here, bear your buttocks, and you will be injected with something. Well, how about no? How about no, I'm not going to do this? How about if I had known there was a mask ordinance down here in Fort Lauderdale, I wouldn't have come. That's the truth. I thought it was only in Miami. I wouldn't even be here. The streets last night were empty. This is party central for college kids right here in Fort Lauderdale. And we're right on that main strip where all the kids hang out. There's nobody here. It was all shut down at 9 o'clock last night. The place is deserted. We are destroying the very fabric of our society with the small businesses in the United States due to a stupid virus that has a lower death rate than the flu or the common cold. Why? Because the Rothschild banking cartel has declared that we control the world, we control the money supply, we control the central banks in almost every country in the world, and we want the economy shut down to reduce demand for goods and services so we can inflate the currency and not cause hyperinflation. But we'll destroy the planet in the meantime, and then we'll turn around and we'll have the ability to bring you a new world order. A new world order that's better than your current order. The vice president candidate, apparently, for Joe Biden said the Confederates were traitors. Is this where the Democratic Party has gone? Is this what they believe? What the heck has happened to our country? I want our country back. Austin, what do you say?
That's really well said. I mean, that's exactly what we're starting to see now. The violence is starting to pick up all over these major cities, and that's why I've encouraged everybody for years. You know, if you live in one of these areas, be aware and be prepared for what's about to happen. If you have the ability to leave, do so. I saw the latest reports on New York now, and they're saying, according to figures released by the New York Police Department, there were on total, the first 6 months of 2020, there were 176 murders already. They said the number of shooting victims has gone up almost 70% to totaling over 616 shooting victims this year alone. They said in June this year, there were 250 shooting victims compared to 97 in the same last year. They said burglaries are up over 120% as well as home invasions. And so, I mean, that's just the beginning phases of what happens in these major cities when you start defunding and essentially abolishing the police. And it's funny that I've heard some of these people on social media and just people that are pushing this rhetoric. And it's funny, they're like, oh, well, we don't mean abolish the police. We just mean defund the police. We don't want the police being funded anymore. And I'm like, so you're just trying to say it in a politically correct way that you want to abolish the police. Oh, we don't want to abolish them. We just want to defund them. These clowns that are pushing this communist agenda are doing everything they can to subvert it, the culture. And see, here's the issue I have with this. I'm always a very direct person. Anybody that meets me knows I'm very direct. I'm not politically correct. I don't try to put on a facade. I don't try to be overtly friendly about something that I'm not. I don't try to make you feel better if it's something that I disagree with. I'm just a very direct person with stuff. And there's pros and cons to that. Some people get offended. Some people don't care. But one thing about that is, if you're going to push an agenda, if you have an idea, an ideology, something that you want to force into this segment of the population, at least have the stones to stand up and say, yes, I am a Marxist and I am promoting communism and I am going to try to take all of your stuff. And then I'm going to square up with them. I'm going to say, okay, come and get it. Let's see what you got. And it goes from there. What I cannot stand is this cockroach mentality that's being perpetrated through the American populace and trying to subvert the Constitution by coming out and saying, we're not trying to do this. We just want to, you know, slightly defund the police. We don't want to get rid of them. And at the same time, they're blatantly pushing to get rid of all the cops. They come out and say, we're not promoting socialism, we're anti-fascist. And at the same time, they demand to be given money from everybody, including reparations from American citizens because somebody may have had a slave 170 years ago. This is what I cannot stand. At any time, and I mark my words on this, guys, any time you are exposed and you witness a group of people that talk out of both sides of their mouth repetitively, and they say one thing, and their actions completely contradict what they say, or they say one thing about what they want to do, and they completely go behind your back and expand on it way further than they ever admitted to doing. Anytime you get a group that starts to do that, they are always, always going to try to take everything you have from you, including your freedom, your property, and your life. This has been seen in country after country after country where communism was pushed. It's always these small little baby steps. It's just, guys, listen, just wear a mask. You just got to wear a mask. That's it. That's all we want to do is just you to wear a mask. And it escalates from there. Now we see where it's gone. I mean, this right now is being used as a beta test to see how submissive the American population is. That's exactly what this is. And the sad part is a lot of people are doing it. The same thing goes with this whole Black Lives Matter terrorist group now. They're running around with megaphones, harassing people going to church, getting groups together in giant groves. You guys saw, yes, 2 days ago we talked about it, going around in with, you know, weapons slung, 200 and 300 people. And again, I told you, I don't have a bit of problem with people exercising their First and Second Amendment right. What I do have a problem with people doing is walking around armed, harassing people that are trying to travel freely, unmolested on their way. As I said that yesterday, this group that basically calls himself the INFAC is walking around the other day in Georgia, basically harassing law-abiding citizens while they were sitting in their cars, demanding reparations, threatening them. There's no honor in that. Go to Planned Parenthood. Why don't you protest Planned Parenthood? Why don't you start doing stuff like that? Go around in rural areas and walk around with guns with 200 and 300 people and intimidate people. You're not proving a point. All you're doing is strengthening the American patriot resolve to realize that you are there simply to take our stuff unlawfully. And this is what people have to realize. It's constantly going on right now. I mean, now we have people coming out on ABC News yesterday, or excuse me, last week. I saw this is funny. They're now saying, essentially implying, that people that go to national parks are inherently racist because national parks are inherently racist. I can't even make this up now. They want to say here, AB News Live, they said, as millions of Americans escape home quarantine to the great outdoors this summer, they'll venture into parks, campgrounds, and forest lands that remain the stubborn bastions of self-segregation. So apparently, if you're white and you go to a national park, you're doing it intentionally because you're segregating and you're a racist because you want to enjoy national parks, even though national parks are open to every venue of the public because they're funded through taxpayer dollars that everybody can access at any point in time. And they openly accommodate anybody, including any type of disability at any point in time in anywhere in the park. So going to a national park, though, is now racist because white people apparently go to parks. This is what they're doing through the culture. And again, they're not coming out and saying what their mantra is. Their mantra is to completely and totally restructure the United States. And then you have that Ilhan Omar girl, the hardcore Muslim that's in Congress. It's embarrassing she's in politics, walking around with her head scarred all the time, promoting her Muslim agenda. Now she's blatantly calling for pretty much the breakdown and overthrow of capitalism and the Constitution, as she says it is a system of oppression. And she goes on to say here that we cannot, at criminal justice system, we must begin to work at dismantling the whole system of oppression wherever we find it. As long as our country and political systems prioritize profit and consider who is profiting, who is being shut down, we will perpetrate the inequality. She babbles on with this stuff, on and on and on, and this is what they're trying to promote right now. So Dad's exactly right. And I commend him for making a stand over there, even though it's quite annoying when you're down on a vacation and you're trying to enjoy yourself at a hotel. I have to go down to West Palm Beach this weekend to go pick up some stuff. And I'm got to go Friday. I'll be back Saturday. And I'm curious to see how they're going to respond down there. I have a doctor's letter. So I'm not even going to engage them in conversation. I just realized that with Dad. The problem is when you talk to these people and they really are far out there with their beliefs and they truly believe that the government is telling you to wear a mask for your protection. And here's the thing. If you're sick, if you're coughing and hacking, by all means, yes, wear a mask. Quite frankly, you shouldn't even be going out in public anyways if you're sick. That's the fact. That's the ironic part that they stopped talking about. Remember, first it was supposed to be, you're self-quarantined. Oh, you need to do this. You need to stay at home. Now it's, oh, you can pretty much do whatever you want. You can go wherever you want. But now everybody has to wear a mask. How about we just tell people if you're sick, you're feeling run down, if you're coughing, if you have a fever, you probably just need to stay at home. Best thing to do. It's interesting enough about this, and we keep talking about this, and I haven't really had anybody be able to rebuttal me on it. We already saw, remember, a couple months ago, those nasal swab, the COVID-19 test that came into Europe. I forgot what part they were on Europe. I don't have it in front of me. Or they tested them, and the COVID-19 tests were contaminated with COVID-19. The tests were testing positive without ever being used right out of the wrapper. Now, how could that be? How could that possibly be? Well, that means that they've intentionally infected nasal swabs with COVID-19 to make sure they test positive. Or that means the tests are showing positive regardless of what you expose them to. Where they tested, I think, a goat and a papaya. They both tested positive down in Africa. That's why they're protesting hardcore down there. Now, it's interesting about this. You see a lot of people that are being tested that have no symptoms. And then after they get tested, they say, oh, you're positive for COVID. And they start having symptoms. Are people being intentionally infected with COVID-19? Or are people being lied to and say they're testing positive for COVID-19 simply to try to run the case rate up? I don't know. I know that when your cortisol goes up and your stress goes up, your immune system gets compromised. So now they've put so much fear and so much propaganda out there with COVID. As soon as people find out they test positive, they're like freaking out. I mean, I've heard people pass out. They're having like full-blown like meltdowns, like panic attacks. Oh, my gosh, this is positive. Oh! I mean, completely melting down because of the fear that's been instilled into them. Well, as I've heard from numerous people that have actually tested positive and recovered within a few days, they said, dude, I'm healthy, I'm young, I take vitamins, I take vitamin C, I take vitamin D3. Literally, if I didn't know I tested positive, I would not have thought anything different about this besides having a sore throat and a stuffy head for like 2-3 days. Okay, so that's what's going on. We're starting to hear the vast majority of people, and now they're trying to say on CNN, there's like 53 hospitals are maxed out in their ICUs now in the hospitals. Why is that? Well, A, they're completely and totally overreacting to a lot of stuff now, and people are being admitted to the hospital. B, you have people on a regular basis that go to the ICU all the time. And now you have people that are having full-blown panic attack meltdowns because they're testing positive. And on top of that, you have people that are already compromised immune systems, and when they catch any virus, including the flu, they get sick. So what they're doing is they're trying to run the numbers, spread the fear, push the propaganda in order to get everybody to capitulate. Understand what's going on. The same thing like Dad said, I was excited when I heard the other day that they were finally going to actively defund the World Health Organization. There's no reason we're giving them this much money. But I knew there was a caveat. I knew there was no way, there was not a snowball's chance in Florida on an August afternoon that they were going to actually defund the WHO and not have caveats. So, of course, they're defunding the WHO and they're giving it to the Bill Gates, one of Bill Gates' proxy foundations. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Bill Gates gets richer. He spreads his toxic vaccines and the world goes on. Wake up, realize what's going on, spread the truth, and do the best you can to stand your ground on situations like this, Deb.
Well, I'm still here. you know, there you go. I've just been on the phone right now, but I'm doing a live show getting texts. It's voice texts. And, you know, and Sheila Zielinski, I just talked to her for just a second or sent her a couple of voice texts. You know, she's having the same types of problems out in California now. I mean, I feel bad for her. I mean, guys, let me tell you something. I respect people like Sheila or Dave Hodges or Doug Hagman or people that are willing to stand their ground when it comes to personal liabilities and personal liberties. You know, we've got to do what we need to do, and we've got to do it on a regular basis. We've got to continue. If everybody said to the mask police, no, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. Like I did this morning. I never put my mask on. I can't. I have a medical condition. If everybody stood up to the mask police and said, no, I'm not going to do this, you know what they'd do? They'd stop requiring masks because the jails and the city jails and everybody else would be full. And everybody would go, oh, wow, this is really weird. This is like new territory. We don't want to be here because we don't have the police. Like that sheriff said this morning, I don't have the manpower to be the mask police. I don't have the manpower to be the mask police. Guys, here's the thing. We've got to stand up for something. My gosh, where do we go? The mask police, this mask thing is just preparation for the COVID shot. You've got to understand that. Please listen to me. It's prepping you to bend over and take the shot. It's prepping you to have a COVID passport. It's prepping you for the continual loss of your liberties. I mean, think about it. Fox News has now said that Tammy Duckworth is a moron and claims she's using her military injuries to silence critics. This is Tucker Carlson. I'm going to give you the full story. I mentioned a second ago. Fox News opinion host Tucker Carlson doubled down on his criticism of Democratic Senator Tammy Duckworth from the previous night, claiming she was a moron who was hating America. Carlson described Duckworth as a fraud and claimed she was using her military service background since she was once injured to drown out criticism. Fox News host Tucker Carlson doubled down in criticism from the previous night, said she had no moral authority. During his program, Carlson highlighted a previous interview Duckworth had on CBN that said was grossly inappropriate. Asked for her thoughts on the possibility of removing historical statues of former President George Washington, Duckworth, an outspoken critic, replied to CNN that the country needed to start off by having a national dialogue on some point. But right now we're in the middle of a global pandemic, she said. No, we're not. Adding that what really struck me about the speech the president gave at Mount Rushmore was the time he spent worried about honoring dead Confederates. I mean, his priorities were all wrong here. He spent all his time talking about dead traitors, Duckworth said during the CNN interview. Dead traitors. Dead traitors. Well, you know, Miss Duckworth, or whatever your really weird name is, here's the thing. You know, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? I mean, my parents, my dad's father and mother came from Germany. My mom came from Germany. I was born in the United States. I'm an American. I don't have any allegiance to the Confederacy. But I'm not going to dishonor these people for what they did and call them traitors. Are you part of that school system that basically has made you unbelievably stupid? Do you really think that 2 + 2 = 5? Because you were forced by white privilege to think that 2 + 2 = 4? What is wrong with you? Maybe there's a lot of other things you could have said than to call fallen war heroes traitors, because you think they were traitors. I mean, you're a weirdo. You're a complete weirdo. Oh, by the way, here's an interesting article. It's from The Last American Vagabond. And they're talking about meet the Israeli intelligence firm using AI to profile Americans and guide U.S. lockdown policy. What? An Israeli government contractor funded by a former Israeli spy, Mossad, has partnered with one U.S. state and is set to announce a series of new partnerships with other states and U.S. healthcare providers. U.S. healthcare providers? What about HIPAA laws? To monitor civilian health and use IDF design, Israeli Defense Forces design system, to profile Americans likely to contract coronavirus and to inform U.S. government lockdown policies. A company tied to Israel's military signal intelligence unit, 8200, has recently partnered with the state of Rhode Island to use an artificial intelligence-based system developed in tandem with the Israeli Defense Forces to profile Americans potentially infected and or at risk of being infected with coronavirus, then informing government authorities of their risk profile once flagged. State health officials can target those individuals as well as their communities for mandatory testing, treatment, and or more restrictive lockdown measures using an artificial intelligence platform. Since March, Diagnostic Robotics, AI-based risk profiling software for coronavirus, has been used by Israeli state in the form of the National Israeli COVID-19 Monitoring System, a key component of its increasingly Orwellian National Health Surveillance System. That system, which also initially partnered with Kladit, Israel's largest health service provider, now involves a daily nationwide monitoring of coronavirus-related symptoms of the population. Wait a minute. So now we have other countries, be it, it doesn't matter if it's Israel, it could be Germany, it could be Russia, it could be China, it could be Timbuktu, I mean, who cares? Monitoring U.S. citizens and is telling their health care agencies that these people are basically a potential COVID health risk so that we can increase lockdown. Where is this going to stop, my friends? I mean, we have other countries coming in now and monitoring us. I mean, this is absolutely insanity. I mean, how in the world can we sit here and allow this to continue? I mean, what the heck, man? I mean, this blows my mind that we're going down this slope this fast. Guys, put the brakes on. Dig your feet in. Say no more. Austin, what do you think?
I mean, what's so troubling about that is you said to look at likely contacts of COVID, meaning they're not saying you've tested positive. They're not even saying that you're having symptoms. They're saying they're going to use an AI algorithm to determine who is likely going to contract COVID. That means they're doing full-blown viral minority report tracing. They're going to predict who may get the virus next. And then, as he just said, we'll institute measures as more testing or lockdowns in those areas. So what they're blatantly saying is they're going to take areas that are not being good little peasants. Areas that people aren't wearing masks, and I put that in sarcasm. Areas that people aren't getting enough tests. Areas that people are still going about their business, traveling freely on their way, going to restaurants and eating, in communities that pretty much have realized the only thing to fear is fear itself. Is that they're making everybody scared and people have had enough of it. And they're going to come into these areas and they're going to punch in an algorithm. And the AI is going to say, oh, people aren't wearing masks, stores are still open, they're not social distancing properly, they haven't had enough tests. This area has a 99% chance that it's going to have a higher COVID case there. You have to go in and lock down this area. And it would be bad enough if the U.S. government was coming out and saying they were doing it via Homeland Security or they were doing it between, you know, some type of internal agency. But they're going to start allowing other countries to dictate what communities in the United States are a potential risk for contracting COVID. I'm kind of baffled right now, Dad. I mean, I don't even know really what to say. I mean, like you said, where does it stop? Where's the line drawn in the sand? And we kind of wonder for years how they're going to implement something like the Chinese social credit score. Well, it's here, guys. It's here. It's right in front of us, staring at us in the face, 6 inches away from our nose, gloating at us, telling us what it's about to do. My question is to everybody, what are you prepared to do? Are we just going to keep slowly tiptoeing around? Okay, well, you know, I'll just pretend that it's not that big of a deal, and I'll just wear a mask, and I'll just be compliant, and I'll just walk around, and I'll do whatever they tell me to do. That's why the whole thing is with the mask. I mean, I've heard this from numerous people in the medical community, RN nurses, doctors, people that I know that are in the military. Every person that's awake has pretty much told me the exact same thing. This is a compliance test. This is a compliance test. I've heard that term used now multiple times. This is a compliance test. It's to test the populace to see how compliant we are. And if we pass this test in compliancy, they'll open up another section and say, okay, we can start doing this a little bit more, but we have to have this measure in place now. And they'll see how compliant everybody is. Anybody wondered why all the coins are having shortages all over the country now? People said, oh, well, it's because the mint stopped producing. Yeah, it is. They stopped producing. Anybody wondered why they stopped producing? You now have the supermarket giant. That chain is the newest member to a growing list of retailers limiting cash transactions or demanding the exact change or you can only use card. They blatantly say right here, the company spokesperson, Christopher Brandt, said in response, due to the national coin shortage, select giant registers can only accept credit, debit, and electronic payments at this time. We're sorry for the inconvenience. Lowe's Home Improvement Stores posted sign urging shoppers to pay with exact change or use card. Also, convenience stores such as 7-Eleven, Pilot, Circle K, and many others, according to the news reports and social media posts, are not allowing usage of coin. On the other hand, the Mint showed production of coins to protect, slowed production of coins to protect workers amid the crisis, they allegedly said. On the other hand, coin deposits from banks also plunged this past month, bringing the new normal to circulation to a near standstill that hasn't thawed. Now, there's a couple factors of this that you can kind of think of. A, this is to kind of slowly allow hyperinflation. So now if something's $3.49, they're just going to say it's $4 flat and we'll cover the tax. People just pay in cash. And B, what this is happening is now, this is to get people increasingly more okay. I can guarantee you, if you pull the numbers, I haven't pulled them yet, I'll look at them this week. If you pull transaction report numbers, I can guarantee you credit card usage is through the roof in the last 3 months. Guarantee you it's unprecedented, higher than it's ever been before in the United States, credit card usage is, not cash. Cash is probably dwindling down. This is what they do as a pretext in other countries. They slowly start getting rid of cash. Now, there's another reason, too, why they want to make sure they get rid of coins. As per the U.S. Mint Reserve Bank, the nickel and the penny are at a loss in production, meaning it costs the mint money to produce those. The nickel is like 6 cents and the penny is like 2 to 3 cents, even with the current rate, because the metals has still gone up. It's a loss. Now, dimes and quarters, they actually make a little bit on those. You know, I think they make like a couple cents on a dime. They make like 10 or 12 cents on a quarter. Now, that's very abysmal when you think about the actual production of those and how much go into circulation. That's not very much money. When you compare it to other notes, like, for example, as of 2020, the currency operating budget for the U.S. Treasury, the $100 bill, the blue bill, the new $100 blue bill, everybody's seen it now, holograms, all fancy, super fancy, it cost them 19.6 cents to make a $100 bill. Now, you can't even compare those margins, 19.6 cents to produce a $100 face note bill compared to making a few pennies on a dime and a few pennies on a quarter. That is why they're getting rid of coinage. They want to get rid of the not cost-effective trade items so they can go completely into cash. The next thing they'll do is they'll get rid of $1 bills, because $1 bills, ironically enough, cost 7.7 cents to make. Well, if it's 7.7 cents, but you only sell it for a dollar, that's still a fantastic markup in reality. But there's really not a huge margin like there is with 19.6 cents for a $100 bill. You're talking about exponential margins there. Of course, when you can print money out of thin air and pay 19 cents and charge $100 for it, this is why the money manipulation is so important to the central banks. That's what we said before. The President of the United States doesn't control the country. The banks do. The Federal Reserve does. Goldman Sachs does. They have for years now. And when you can print the dollars for pennies, you can print $100 bills for pennies, and then you can sell them, and then you can charge interest on them through the Federal Reserve, golly, you literally can create billions of dollars out of nothing, literally nothing, air, pixie dust, poof, it's there. The money's there now. This is where they're going. They're trying to decrease and keep the velocity of money as low as possible to prevent hyperinflation right now. So they're constantly contracting the economy. Now they're pulling coins out of the market, and they're doing everything they can to keep hyperinflation from going absolutely nuts. I just talked to a friend of mine last night. He's real into exotic car sales, does different stuff with cars, sells them, buys them, owns some, has fun with them. Pretty cool, I mean, to be honest with you. I mean, that's a pretty cool gig to be in. And all the exotic cars now, Porsches, Lamborghini, Ferraris. I look at stuff all the time on eBay. I've always liked vehicles, Jeeps and stuff. I can't really get into Lamborghini and Ferrari, even though I really admire those cars. They're really cool. But all the vehicles, the trucks have gone up, the Lamborghinis have gone up, the Ferraris, the Porsches, they've all gone up in the last couple weeks now. And I asked, I said, what's going on? I said, look at the markets. All this stuff's going through the roof now. Why are the exotics going up? We're in the middle of like a depression just about. He said, they can't get parts. He said, the factories just opened back up. Lamborghini factory just about opened back up a couple weeks ago. Problem is, can't get any parts out of Italy. Can't get any parts out of Germany from Audi. All the parts manufacturing has stopped as well. So now the factories are back up, ready to build cars. Can't get the parts to build the cars. So now they're saying it's going to be months before they can get more stuff in. Now, I'm sure certain vehicles are going to be able to be produced faster than others, depending on the exotic availability of parts. But that's exactly what we're starting to see now. So now the vehicle economy is starting to slow down. There's not more vehicles to buy. I mean, I'm talking to a buddy the other day, the new Duramax, the 2020 Duramax, they were out of hock for so long now, they're all through the roof. Dealers are charging like retail, like full sticker form right now, because you can't get them. Hardly any of them available. Same thing that happened with the Corvette, the new CA Corvette. That's super cool mid-engine thing. I had a buddy of mine who's a dealer. He has a big truck shop. He got allocated for one. Got one of the first ones that came out, full blown out. I mean, loaded up. It was like $88,000 sticker on it. He bought it through the business. He turned around and put a custom wheels on it through Forgi Auto. Sat it at a dealership. Sold for $128,000 on it. I mean, made very nice, handsome profit on it. Why? Because Corvette stopped production in the CA. So when you have that demand, but there's no supply, it goes up. And so what's going to happen is now, once the economy starts to boom back, then once inflation starts to incur and once these things start to go up, we're going to start seeing vehicles continue to get more and more and more expensive. And the problem is, though, the economy and the income of a lot of people is not going to facilitate being able to buy these vehicles. So it's going to be a very interesting thing to watch. So brace yourself, be ready. Make sure you have food and water on deck. Make sure, of course, you have some at least silver, gold, whatever your preferences, do your thing on it. I'm not going to give you financial advice, but have some backup funding. And, of course, as always, keep a steady supply of guns and ammo all the time, Dad.
Really well said, Austin. One more thing I want to talk about, this thing with hyperinflation and how they're going to force us to stop using cash. Now, listen to me for a second. I'm going to make this really, really – this is going to be just clear as a bell when I say it this way. All right. Right now, we can't get change. So if our bill – let's say I go get my ridiculously world's most expensive cup of coffee downstairs, and it's $4.01, all right? And they go, we can't give you change back for 99 cents, so we're going to round it up to 5. And I'm like, why can't you round it down to 4? Oh, we can't do that. Okay, I guess I'm going to give you $5 for a cup of coffee. So now I'm pissed off because I just paid an extra dollar for a cup of coffee that I didn't even want to have to do because they forced me to do it. Kind of like wearing a mask, right? Well, let's say they get rid of $1 bills. All right. Get rid of ones. So now my ridiculous expensive cup of coffee is now $5.01 because it went up. And they say, we're sorry, we don't have any ones. We're going to round it up to 10. I'm like, what? You're going from 5 to 10 for a cup of coffee? It was already insanely expensive to start with. I'm not going to do this. Well, yeah, you're going to do that or you're going to use a credit card? Well, you pick which one you want. I'm like, oh, God, really? All right, here's the credit card for that stupid cup of coffee. So I threw the credit card down. So now instead of costing me $10 for a cup of coffee, it only cost me $5.01. Well, how much easier was it then to say, I don't need to use cash? Well, let's go take another dodge. Let's say we're going to get rid of the $10 bills. Okay, and all of a sudden, my cup of coffee is, you know, now we have no ones, no fives, and no tens. So now my cup of coffee is $5. They said, oh, we can't give you change. Coffee's $20 now. I don't want to give you $20. We only got 20s. That's all we got. And pretty soon you're going like, what the heck just happened? And so forth and so on, all the way up to the $100 bill. We only have hundreds. That's all we've got. So if it's a dollar, we're going to have to charge you $100. We're done. We can't do anything. But I don't want to do this. It is what it is. Use your credit card. And we get programmed slowly but surely into using the New World's Order cashless system. And then it's going to get better. We can't take plastic. It could be stolen. You got to get that tattoo on your hand. And you got it wear on your forehead. It'll be ultraviolet ink. You're not going to see it. And we're going to scan you. And you're going to walk into a scanner, and it's going to scan you. It's going to automatically debit your account. But, you know, we can't let you buy or sell or trade or do anything unless you got that mark on your forehead or your hand. And you go, whoa, did it happen that slippery? Was it that fast? Guys, they just dropped the hammer on us. They just dropped the hammer. They got a 12-pound sledge. The other day we were doing some work at the house. Couldn't get something to fit into a concrete block wall, a metal cabinet. We put the sledgehammer to it. Put a piece of wood on the doggone cabinet. Put the hammer to it. It banged it in there, boy. It dropped it in. Are they going to put the hammer to it? They just did, guys. I was just run out of the lobby of a hotel. I'm still waiting for the police to show up. I was just run out of the lobby of a hotel that I'm paying for. I'm paying for the room because I've got a medical condition and I didn't want to suffocate myself. You know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to make gauze masks, like cheesecloth masks. Masks that do absolutely nothing, but they meet the city ordinance of what the particulates, well, but there won't be any, there's no particulate size on these things, so they'd be making us all wear N95s. I think I'm going to start making gauze masks that basically will be a cheesecloth mask. Doesn't do anything except for creates an illusion to these weirdos that you're wearing a mask when you're forced to do it. Or I may just continue just to not wear the mask. How about that? Guys, it's ridiculous that we're in the middle of this. But, you know, all of this is ridiculous, but then we got this Pope. And it says, I've already offended pretty much everybody I can offend this morning. Let's talk about Pope Francis. He's now calling for interfaith prayer, each to his own God. Remember when Paul in the New Testament went to Athens and they had all of these God things set up, they had all these hundreds of different gods, and he says to them, look, you know, you got all these gods, but there's only one God. These are just meaningless idols. I mean, what the heck are you doing? You know, there's one God who created the earth, now I'm paraphrasing, who you need to pray to. And many of the people listened to him. Many people still started laughing at him because they were in the idol business. They were making these fake gods. But now Paul, his words come back even more clearly when Pope Francis' dangerous call for interfaith prayer, each to his own God. Here's the article. Can you imagine an Apostle Paul who in Athens invites his listeners of various philosophical schools and ancient cults to unite in prayer, each to his own God, as a sign of fraternity? Can you imagine an Apostle Peter in writing to Christians at the four corners of the Roman Empire, recommending that they raise petitions together with the faithful of the Eastern Greek and Roman religions to invoke it in the pandemic? For those who have a basic grasp of biblical faith, it's pretty absurd. Not for Rome, though. Instead, the Catholic Church organized a day of prayer and fasting addressed to believers of all religions under the auspices of the Higher Committee for Human Fraternity to pray together. Wait a minute. Are they throwing Satanism into this? Yeah, are we gonna put some of the weirdest world's cults involved in this? Of all faith, interfaith prayer, each to his own God? To heck. You're gonna drag the Hindus and the Buddhists into this? I mean, what is this all about? Either we have power through the blood of the Lamb, through Jesus Christ our Lord, or we don't. Why would we evoke other people's religions in other people's face? You talk about a mishmash. It's like I told my friend the other day who's got a mega church. I said, the reason we're in the middle of this mess is that we can't unify ourselves in prayer because we all believe different weird things. I mean, you got to go back to what the Word of God says. Oh, my friends, listen to me. Follow Jesus. He's the author. He's the finisher. He's the perfecter of our faith. Guys, don't let him push you around. Don't be bullied. Don't be pushed into a corner. Don't do this. Don't let them poke you with a stick and do what they say. if it's against the law of God, you've got to stand with what the Word of God says. I love you guys. I appreciate you. I have not yet prayed for you this morning. I got all caught up in this thing downstairs, but I will pray for you guys in a few minutes. I appreciate you. I love you, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.
Yes, guys. And again, thank you for the support and standing up for what's right and standing up for your convictions. That's a thing, something that we have to maintain right now. You know, I saw a video earlier that was quite troubling where the interview reporter Eduardo Narrett was going around and asking students by the beach and other areas by school how they felt about social media accounts being monitored by schools and universities. And these kids were so overtly okay with it, it was almost disgusting. You know, one of them said, I definitely think they should be monitoring the hate speech because it shouldn't be allowed. It has to do with helping with school and accessing information, but it keeps more safety. I think it's okay. Another one said, I have nothing to hide. I would do that as far as they asked about sacrificing their freedom of speech, and they said, I would do that because if it means I'm giving up a little of what I care about to make others feel better, I would do that. I'd make that exchange. And granted, I get the context of making sure people feel okay, I guess you could say, but the concept of removing your rights of privacy and free speech so people aren't offended. And the problem is, if we're talking about real, true, vulgar, militant offense where you were going and saying extreme racial slurs and trying to really harass and intimidate people, I get that. But the problem is there's already laws before that. This isn't about that. This is about anybody that's lightly offended from anything you say simply because they disagree with you, they can shut you down. Same thing with the incident out in California where the two white couples have now been arrested and charged in, Contra Costa County, because the group, Black Lives Matter group, put a big Black Lives mural up on the side of a building. They got a permit to do it, and they got granted to do this huge mural on the side of a building. And this two white couple came over after they got done and painted over it. They said, this is ugly, this is disgusting. The fact that you're painting this on buildings downtown is embarrassing with having graffiti down here. They were charged with violation of civil rights, hate crime, violation of vandalism under $400, and possession of tools to commit vandalism and graffiti. They both were arrested because they painted over Black Lives Matter murals. This is what we're starting to see. So, guys, wake up, be prepared, continue to speak the truth. Check out the product of the week. The winner today is the Sublingual B12. Massively increases your B12 levels in your body. Essential for energy. Great for red blood cell count production. Enjoy yourself. Stay safe. Stay prepared. If you need anything, healthmasters.com. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.